Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at @DReefer or at @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, filling in for Dan and Mary Jo today are myself, Angelo Carriero, and my co-host, Sean C. Sean?
Good morning. How are things?
Things are well, and except for everything in the SEC media days were this week, and again, Kentucky overwhelmingly disrespected in my regard for the way that the voting went down, not only when it came to the SEC predictions list, which Kentucky did not even get a vote for first place, even though that many of the recruiting classes that Mark Stoops has brought in that leads into those, you know, top 25 classes that we've had perennially, you know, over the last 3 or 4 years. There was one guy that I saw, because they voted for preseason first, second, and third team All-SEC, okay?
Right.
There's a running back here that split carries with a guy that just went into the NFL draft, even though he went undrafted, which was actually a surprise to almost everybody out there. He's caught on with the Bengals and actually has a really good shot at making that team. So a guy that split carries with an NFL-quality running back and got 1,000 yards, and got 13 touchdowns, as a true freshman, who doesn't show up on this list?
You're talking, of course, about Benny Snell.
Benny Snell was omitted from the first three teams. Also, give us a call at 381-1313. You can mention us on Twitter at ESPN Radio Lex, and you hit us up on Facebook.com/ESPN Radio Lex, and also download the app in the iTunes store at WLXG in the search bar. So I'm looking through the list, and there's not one Kentucky player that is even in the first three teams of the All-SEC. And, you know, I kind of get it. There's a guy that we had here that transferred over to Oklahoma that was supposed to be a big weapon for us.
You're only offense you're talking right
only
now.
Only offense right yeah. now. Yeah. At wide receiver. Our offensive line, good, but I mean the SEC is one of those schools where the trenches are the strongest of any conference. You know, Bington's, you know, okay, but it's not SEC ball. And so the one guy that I thought everybody was sure of, because a lot of people, even outside of the Deep South here in the SEC, thinks that Benny Snell is one of the top running backs, especially up-and-coming running backs, and he's nowhere to be found on here. And that blows my mind, because you have a guy that is so, even though he is so young. I mean, listen to the names we got on here, though. Because there's a guy that's from Berea, Kentucky, former number one overall running back recruit that didn't even show up on here, that's going into his junior year in Alabama, and Damian Harris. Okay, so, right. I mean, if that's the case, too, all right, maybe running back's a pretty good position in the SEC, right?
Some strong names.
Nick Chubb. I mean, he had that terrible knee injury, but one of the best running backs of the SEC last 4 years. Darius Geis. My cage is not very good, but as an NFL draft guy myself, he is one of the top running backs in this next running back class, along with Saquon Barkley, and he's one of the top tier. Okay, you know, 223 votes for him. I get it. You know, maybe not first team. Let's go to the second team. Bo Scarborough of Alabama. Great, you know, great hoss of a running back. You know, yeah, we saw him play.
And, you know, the way Alabama's line is built and everything, an Alabama running back was going to be there. He just happened to be the one they picked.
Okay. And he's a beast, but I mean, when it comes to the production, I mean, Damian was carrying the load there until the end, so maybe he deserved that nod. And then Cameron Petaway. So that's the first one that I kind of see on the list. Good physical running back, but that's a guy that, I mean, Cameron Petaway is not the type of the guy that can do what Benny Snell did last year in that splitting carries role, even to the point that, I mean, second team. So if you're really doing a projection, let's say Auburn's going to have a really good team, because a lot of people think Auburn is a sleeper over there in the SEC West to be maybe a playoff contender, okay? So let's say maybe they really predicting him and Jarrett Stidham, their new quarterback there, who's a fine quarterback in himself, that they really think that this is, you know, projecting on this. Okay. Sonny Michel of Georgia. Great running back. I've watched a lot of Georgia. He's a great running back, splitting carries with Nick Chubb. But now we're splitting hairs on this one, because this is the name. Ralph Webb of Vanderbilt. Guys, Ralph Webb of Vanderbilt. I mean, maybe I'm just the one that's ignorant, but Ralph Webb does not necessarily scream anything that I can even think of off the top of the head. So when it comes to that, I just don't even understand how a guy like that can even make the team when Benny Snell. I mean, it's just when you rush for 1,000 yards, 13 touchdowns as a true freshman, splitting carries, and now you're going to take over. So if we're projecting who's going to be an all-SEC player,
right,
if we're going to take an NFL running back guy out of the backfield, improve the offensive line, throw, even though we do lose Toth, you know, that's a big loss, but we still got guys to fill that. And we throw in the guy that did do what Snell did last year, and we're projecting this team to what I figured is an SEC East champion contender. But apparently, again,
yeah,
with the disrespect, I'm looking over here on this list. All right, John, I downloaded this, copied this. There were 5 votes for South Carolina and 3 for Tennessee. But they obviously think it's a Georgia-Florida race.
Those would be first-place votes?
A Georgia-Florida line. First-place votes.
Okay.
Okay? Kentucky did not get
one. I can't believe South Carolina got any.
Exactly. How is South Carolina going to get 5 votes and Kentucky? So not only did they disrespect the running back that our team is going, we're going to put our team on the back of.
Yeah, you got to figure
Stephen Johnson, but
you got to figure conservatively, Benny Snell gets 1,500 yards.
Exactly.
Conservatively.
If he stays healthy.
Yeah, if he stays
and
healthy.
I know the SEC is a rough and rugged conference, but this is a guy that has worked hard. I mean, think about it. As a freshman going there, okay, we're listening to, I think it might have been Coach Ortmeyer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, way early. He said that there's a reason why kids take 3 years until they get in the NFL. He said Benny Snell was a guy that was ready right away.
Yeah, well, he's got that body. He's a...
Exactly.
He's not a bowling ball, but he's the next closest thing to a bowling ball.
Exactly. And when it comes to carrying the load, that is exactly what you expect your running back to do in the SEC conference. And especially when we have to face teams like Florida and Georgia and Tennessee, and then you've got the Bamas, the Auburns, the LSUs that you have to go toe-to-toe with. So it mind boggles me that. And then to see this, that Kentucky did not get one first-place vote, but South Carolina did, which blows my mind. And Tennessee got 3 votes, even though they lose their starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They lose their best defensive end in, you know, the last 20 years of their school.
Mm-hmm.
They lose their top cornerback. They lost about everything that you could lose that makes you good in the SEC.
They did.
And they got more first-place votes than us. Even though we return, if I've got that right here, they return 17 starters. Kentucky does. Kentucky right. returns 17 starters. That's 9 on offense and 8 on defense, including guys that did make the All-SEC preseason team, like Denzel Ware, second team. Mm-hmm. Mike Edwards, who a lot of people think might be a first, second-round draft pick at safety because of how talented he is, made third team. And then Jordan Jones is just another linebacker in the machine that is Kentucky linebackers, that, you know, the Danny Trevathans, the Wesley Woodyards, the Avery Williamsons, all those
linebacker
guys, the Bud Dupree's, linebacker U in the SEC East. And we got we have Jordan Jones coming through. So all these starters return, and I just look at it. Yeah, okay, so we've got Ralph Webb stats, by the way, for Benny Snell.
Uh-huh.
1283 for 13 touchdowns. So just a little bit better than Benny. Junior.
Right. How many carries?
He did that. He had 250 to Benny's 180.
There you go.
Come on. You're really going to tell me that Ralph Webb is going to be the all-SEC running back over Benny Snell when you had that disparity in carries? That's 70 carries, 200 yards more, same amount of touchdowns, and now Benny Snell's going to get the load. Give me a break. Give me a break.
Yeah, it's
the disrespect on that.
It's a little... I don't understand the Ralph Webb love, honestly.
I don't either.
Maybe a lot more media covering the Deep South teams. Kentucky doesn't have the respect, but neither does Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt doesn't have a reputation as being a running back university. Kentucky has had a few through the years.
And not only that, I mean, I understand that the defense, like, did get the respect.
Yeah.
So we get 300 more points in the Eastern Division when it comes to projecting who's going to win the SEC East. 300 more points on that, okay, than Vanderbilt. But their running back's going to make the All-SEC team? Give me a break.
Well, all right. Yeah, I don't get it. And the respect, the disrespect, like you were saying, for UK, I mean, they were picked to finish 5th. Behind Georgia,
South
Florida, which is to be expected. Tennessee, you can make that argument a lot easier. South Carolina, I don't see it.
Yeah,
I don't see it.
And I mean, I'm not going to give them a break, but there was only about less than 30 point difference between us and South Carolina, and only over 100 for us in Tennessee. But again, this is a team that I think is poised to at at least with this team, we stay healthy, we improve the way we are, our young players develop into the guys we expected them to, they will finish no further than third in the SEC East.
Yeah, and Georgia has this history of underachieving. So
yes, they do. And Florida's not been a power since Urban Meyer's gone.
No,
they made a couple SEC championship games. And Jim McElwain's fine coach, mm-hmm. but Florida is not the Florida of past lore. They still get good players, but they also kind of underachieve.
They do, and Kentucky has been fairly close in the over the past few years to actually ending that long losing streak to Florida.
And it just blows my, especially with the way that we played, you know, a couple years ago against them, and I know that it was pretty bad, you know, last year, but we rebounded from that season, especially finding a quarterback like Steven Johnson that is going to be able to come in here. And like Mark Stoops said, he's a leader, he's a winner, he's consistent. But here's the thing. Up on Twitter right now, if you go to our Twitter page, at ESPN Radio Lex, we have a poll up that you can go vote at. Who is going to win the SEC East in football this year? There are four options: Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, Kentucky. And you can vote on there, and you can give us a call at 381-1313 if you want to call and talk about the SEC East or anything else under the sports sun. It's ESPN Radio 1300. We've got, on top of that, everything that I see here, the SEC East is absolutely loaded. Because there's also been another conversation that's been going around that, I mean, Jimbo Fisher said it, and you know, I've got to give Jimbo Fisher respect for being able to spread good things about his conference to where it gets people like us talking mm-hmm. about the ACC football conference. But I want to throw some water on that fire. Jimbo Fisher, if you didn't hear the quote that he said that the ACC was now the premier conference in college football.
Well, I mean, they do have the reigning national championship.
They have a reigning national champion. They're literally the only school that, so since the playoffs have come around, you've got Alabama 1-1, Ohio mm-hmm. State 1-1, mm-hmm. Clemson 1-1.
Yep.
Okay. Before that, Florida State 1-1, ACC. And then what's the track record before that?
Alabama, Auburn. I think LSU's got one in there somewhere.
And then Florida.
Florida's got a couple in
there.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go ahead and drop that mic right there on the last, you know, it takes more than a recruiting class to become the premier conference. And even then, the thing about the SEC East, or the SEC in general, is that we always talk about how they beat up on each other, and a lot of programs always kind of complain about, the SEC, well, they always underperform in bowl games. They always, when it comes to, there's one thing that really proves is NFL draft, you know, track record. SEC perennially finishes on top of that. Yeah. Number one. Number two, the teams that come out of here, the reason why we beat up on each other is because from top to bottom, they're pretty, now we're talking about bottom, okay, maybe Vanderbilt, maybe Kentucky in past years have been kind of weak. But here's the thing, our fifth best team is like LSU,
yeah,
Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, that's 7, 8, 9. Mm-hmm. The best teams in other conferences, especially like in the ACC, what am I trying to think of? Virginia? NC State?
Wake Forest?
Duke, come on. You're going to tell me that that conference is better because Clemson and Florida State are good? And that conference is better. North Carolina had like 7 guys drafted and they went 8-5.
Mm-hmm.
In a conference where they should have beat up on all the little brothers, but they didn't.
When you got Louisville in there.
You got Louisville, okay. So
who Louisville started out well and finished up poorly.
Finished on their face.
I mean, Maryland's gone. Maryland's never any good.
Maryland, I mean, it just doesn't.
Maryland's Big Ten now.
It doesn't matter. You know, it's just with the entire conversation is just that. And you know what's funny? You know what's funny about all of it? The Atlantic Coast League. The only reason why that they are even any good is because of the SEC stomping grounds of recruiting.
Yeah.
It's because South Carolina, Clemson can go into other places. And I'm not downgrading the ACC because of that, but there's a reason why, you know, Clemson and Florida State are the two schools that can come into SEC territory and kind of take these guys, like top tier guys. You know, Miami doesn't do it anymore. They might get one, they might get two. Miami doesn't do it anymore, okay? One of your premier programs are supposed to be better than the SEC. There's about 7 different programs in the SEC right now that are better. And you know what? The SEC absorbed Texas, so we got a Texas recruiting state now. All right, so if it wasn't for those, I mean, it's not like North Carolina's doing that much damage. It's not like NC State's doing that much damage. It's not like these schools. It's not like Wake Forest is coming in and taking top dogs. It just doesn't happen. So if you're talking about the ACC as a power, I want to see those teams. I want to see seven of those teams be in the top 25 consistently. Just consistently.
Well, honestly.
And it's, they're not.
I mean, the case could be made that the ACC is only the third best.
Mm-hmm.
Because SEC, you got your Big Ten.
That's Pac-12.
Your Pac-12.
I don't think the Pac-12 is as bad as everybody likes to make it out to be. I think the Pac-12 is consistently pretty good. Especially if we're talking about ACC being top-heavy, at least the Pac-12's top-heavy is a little thicker. Because you got USC, UCLA, you got Oregon, you've got, you know, you've got Stanford. Mm-hmm. You've got teams that come out of there. Colorado last year came out of nowhere.
Yep.
To win the thing. You know, it's just, so, okay. So,
that's an alien brand of football, though, man.
That is. I mean,
all that
Louisville and
offense
Colorado.
And throwing. And
oh, yeah. They don't play defense down points, there in the Pac-12, you know, even though.
Just like the Big 12 or 10.
Okay,
or
now.
However many people. There's 12 teams in the Big 10. There's 10 teams in the Big 12, I think, is the way it goes now.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. But yeah, who knows anymore? but to be honest, it's pretty shocking how far the Big 12 has fallen off the national scale. Because at least ACC can have a very short and quick conversation instead of getting laughed at like the Big 12.
And yeah, that's, I mean, just the way. You got Oklahoma.
Yep.
And sometimes Texas.
Yep.
Texas has fallen.
Give us a call at 381-1313. We'll talk about anything under the sports sun. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the disparity between NBA and NFL contracts right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street. And it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street, TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Now is a great time to volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Volunteering is an opportunity to directly impact lives.
To see a life changed, to have it flourish in front of you, and the mission is a great place to volunteer to see that. You really get to see the results of your input.
And anyone can do it. So no matter how much time you might be able to give, a little or a lot, volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Call us at 381-9600.
If you're thinking about buying a new home this summer, you need to listen to what I'm about to tell you. There's no better place for trusting your financing needs than to Bank of England Mortgage. Their office is right here in Lexington, and they're local people serving the community they live in. Now listen to this. They have no money down financing, and they specialize in first-time home buyers. Let me repeat that. They have no money down financing, and they specialize in first-time home buyers. They'll work with credit scores down to 620, and they have credit rescoring and advice, a personalized plan to help you increase your credit scores. They have over 100 years of experience in their office. You can be approved in 1 hour, and they have their own in-house processors. It's Bank of England Mortgage on Lewis Hargett Circle, or visit them at lexington.boemortgage.com. They're the best in the business. Bank of England Mortgage.
When you have spaghetti and meatballs, plus one clumsy child,
uh-oh,
you need new Arm & Hammer plus OxiClean 3-in-1 Power Packs. When your son comes home from college,
Mom, I'm home,
plus six loads of laundry, you need new Arm & Hammer plus OxiClean 3-in-1 Power Packs. The only detergent with Arm & Hammer freshness plus OxiClean stain fighters and a boost of fresh scent. For all of life cycles, it's the clean you need at a fraction of the cost of the leading brand. New Arm & Hammer plus OxiClean 3-in-1 Power Packs detergent.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This is ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Dan and Mary Jo show. Filling in today is myself, Angelo, my co-host, Sean. And we're just talking about the SEC East and how Kentucky has been consistently disrespected during the SEC media days and through the process, even though that this is the season that we are going to blossom because of the recruiting classes that come in, because of the training that this coaching staff has put so much effort in. But when you, the one thing I will give is that when you look at the SEC East this year, that it is pretty, pretty top heavy. And Georgia was highly represented in the all SEC first teams, and Florida was too.
Yeah. But the thing about SEC voters, they're a lot like the Emmy Awards voters. Modern Family is always going to get a vote for an Emmy Award just because it did in the past. Just like Florida and Georgia are always going to get those first place votes because that's what everybody's done in the past. Kentucky, they're always going to be picked to finish it near the bottom because that's always the way it's been. It's just, it's an ingrained habit to just, well, here's where Kentucky's going to finish. They're going to finish at the bottom of the league. They're not that good. They're never that good. They're Kentucky.
Yeah, and right, and I understand that, too, because there is a point to where Kentucky is going to have to prove it. And this is the year we prove it.
This is the year, yeah.
And once we prove it, and once we show that the guys that we bring in, these top prospects that from all over the country that come in, especially from the Ohio region that Mark Stoops had to answer, you know, that he loves Ohio and that we will continue recruiting in the Deep South as well as recruiting up in Ohio. And with these guys that we're bringing in, we got to prove that they could play at the SEC level at a high level, you know, not just beating like Vandy, Mississippi State, and
Missouri
South Carolina, and then having, you know, four SEC wins, we've got to step into, you know, between the hedges and beat Georgia. We've got to go swim in the swamp and slay the gator that's eluded us for 30 years.
That's the big one right there. Yeah. Get that Florida monkey off your back.
Once you get Florida, once you get Georgia, we beat those three. I mean, if we beat those teams, they will no longer disrespect us. Benny Snell will be a first team All-SEC running back. You know, these guys, these defenders, our team will start kind of infiltrating the Alabamas and the Auburns that are typically going in those spots up there. So it's just a thing where I do think that there's a lot of proven. Like I said, we got a Twitter poll up right now where we're talking about the SEC East and who's going to be the champion this year. You can vote for either Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, or Kentucky at the top of the SEC East. And
not biased at all. 60% say Kentucky's going to win the SEC East this year.
I don't feel like that's bias. I feel like there's a very smart fan base making a very knowledgeable decision on
20%,
that one.
20% Florida, 20% Georgia, 0% Tennessee.
Right, and 0% Tennessee is where that will stay.
Yeah, nobody's voting Tennessee.
So, again, you can give us a call, 381-1313. We can talk about this, and you can vote on our Twitter poll at ESPN Radio Lex. You can download the app with just search WLXG in the search bar of any of the app stores that you get your podcast format. So, we've got an interesting subject that has come up lately when it comes to contracts, because if you've seen this NBA offseason, there have just been some massive contracts given out.
It's been insane.
I mean, the NBA teams are just spending money. I mean, they have so much revenue coming in, but they cannot wait to spend it. And even it's mid-tier teams like Denver and mid-tier teams like Toronto and teams that really aren't the typical Lakers, Celtics, Knicks, Bulls type of spenders. They're shelling out big dollars. And it's to guys that, I mean, they're mostly all-stars, but they're also guys that get contracts. Like, Drew Holiday hasn't made an all-star since he was 22, and he just signed a five-year, $125 million contract. And this is a guy that might not even be an all-star, probably won't be an all-star, might not even be a top-10 point guard in his own conference.
Yeah, I don't think he is.
You know, and well, by the way, that's the guy that Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins are going to be playing with next year. So we're kind of hoping that he turns into that all-star. But my point of the point of the matter is that a couple NFL guys, and this happens about every offseason to every other offseason, that the NFL players start, you know, chirping about the NBA contracts because of this and because of that. And there is a sense that I get it, and we'll get into the deeper parts. But a lot of people saw James Harden's contract, and this is the one that I'm kind of highlighting for this, is that James Harden signed a four-year, $228 million extension to couple on top of the extension he already signed only like 2 years ago?
Yeah, this one kicks in what, 2020?
2019, 2020. So this is kicking in way past the one he just already signed. I mean, they really did their due diligence early. This guy is making buku bucks. You're talking about $43 million for a season. But I kind of wanted to break down on why people think that the NFL doesn't get the NFL players are kind of complaining. So I wanted to break it down because the one thing that gets me all frustrated about when NFL players and stuff, it's the contracts are very sizable for the amount of days you work.
Yeah.
So let's say that I know that everybody works out. Both all leagues work out. You have to work out every day. You have to keep yourself in shape. You have to do media. Every single league does that. Mm-hmm. But there's one league that plays far less. Well, everybody plays far less games than Major League Baseball. 106. That's why they make so much money themselves, is because you have to go to work 162 days, either at home or on the road, a year, not including playoffs. NBA has 82. Okay. NFL has 16 games. It is much more hazardous of a sport. Again, yeah. Why they get paid close to NBA money. And you say, well, that's not even close. They're making $200. Okay. So Aaron Rodgers in 2013 signed a five-year, $117 million contract. Okay? Per year, that's about $23.4
million. Mm-hmm.
All right? So Curry's contract he just signed was about $40.2 million. All right? So there is a big per-year difference. But per game is not even close. $1.4 million per game for Rodgers compared to $490,000 for Curry per game. Per quarter, $366,000 to $122,000. Per minute, Aaron Rodgers makes $24,000 per minute compared to Steph Curry's $10,000. If you want to get to the per seconds, it'll just hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
So when it comes to that, I mean, you look at the per game averages, and that gets even more interesting when it gets down to the average in the NFL. And if you look, by the way, if you look at Derek Carr, who just signed the biggest contract in history, it's even bigger. You've got $1.5 million per game, $390,000 per quarter, $26,000 per minute. Okay? So that's what Derek Carr is making. A young quarterback just signed the contract extension with these NFL guys complaining. $26,000 per minute Derek Carr will be making throughout the longevity of his five-year, $125 million contract.
Right.
So the thing that I wanted to look at was per average, because the average NBA player makes $6.2 million, and more of the better averages make a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL average is only $2.1 million. Okay? There's also a big disparity between roster sizes.
Yeah, I did the math. There's 1,700 NFL players, 53 men on a roster, 32 teams.
Yeah.
There's 450 NBA players.
Exactly. And the money the NFL makes is good, but the NBA isn't like, is no slouch.
You know, the NFL made $13 billion last year.
Mm-hmm. So
I don't know how their cap is the NBA, it's 50%, 51% to the players. I'm not sure how the NFL's does.
Yeah, either way, that there's a lot of money there, but it has to be spread around to a lot of guys. Yeah. So the NFL average is only 2.1. But per game, NFL makes $131,000 compared to $75,000 for NBA. Per quarter, $32,000 to $18,000 to the NBA. And per minute, $2,000 to $1,000. Just, you know, it's when it comes to the contracts, again, give us a call at 381-1313. Discuss the contract disparities between the two or anything else under the sports sun. I don't understand. I understand this one point, though. The guarantees. Because NBA contracts are fully guaranteed to these guys that come through. That's why the Amari Stoudemire contract was such a burden to the Knicks. That's why you have to cut you have to trade Timothy Mozgov with the former number two overall pick to the Nets, because mm-hmm. you just can't get rid of them. The dead cap, I said this over the break or before the show started. James Harden, when his new contract kicks in for 2019-2020, if they were to cut James Harden, they would have $190 million of dead cap space. And for any of those that don't know what dead cap space is, that cap space is obviously what you use to sign players. That means they would have essentially 3 to 4 years of literally you just can't sign anybody. You have to roll the ball out with what you have and never do anything with it. And then the luxury tax would just be, it'd be incredible. So I think that's where the NFL players have a little bit of more saying that they when they've signed that contract, they get $40 million fully guaranteed. Derek Carr, when he signed his 5 year 125, it was $40 million just straight up guaranteed.
Yeah.
You sign this deal, we owe you as a franchise $40 million regardless of what happens from here on out. And it was guarantees could go up to $60 million, and then it's just playing out the rest of the deal. for an example, but it's the lower guys. It's the guys that, you know, sign a 2-year, $14 million, tear up their knee and leave out the door with $600,000 and never see anything else from that contract is, I think, what they're kind of going at when it comes to the guarantees of the contracts.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's a tough, the NFL Players Union is not as good as the NBA Union. And that non-guaranteed, fully guaranteed contract is going to be the case until somebody, an Aaron Rodgers, an Andrew Luck, you know, Derek Carr missed his shot here, just says, I want to sign with you guys, but you got to guarantee this contract 100%.
Yeah, and it's a lot harder. I mean, I can understand how it's harder for NFL teams to do that, too, because whenever you have players that suffer a risk every single snap that you're on. I mean, Derek Carr broke his leg, was out of the playoffs, and no offense to Derek Carr, but what you're worth when you can't go into the playoffs with the team that you led there. Because it was all fun and, you know, shiny for Oakland, but the second his leg went out, they had to start Connor Cook in the playoffs, and it was just over from there. And that's the whole point, is having these guys so they could take you far in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So if injury risk is like that compared to the NBA, look, yeah, you can have a guy like Paul George who breaks his leg in half, you know, but he heals and he comes back. You know, it's not like you knew what you were signing Amari Stoudemire to, that contract that he had degenerate knee problems, just like Blake Griffin. He gets hurt all the time. You know what you're signing to these guys.
Yep.
So you're taking that risk outright. So unlike football, where it's just a play-by-play, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
it just makes it a lot harder on that scale.
And another big difference between the two leagues, the NBA, you can blow through the cap. You just have to pay luxury tax. The NFL, that's a hard cap. You cannot go above the cap.
Right.
They don't have such a thing as a luxury tax. They don't have, you know, a revenue sharing penalty or anything like that, like the Major League Baseball does. You got your money to spend, and you can't spend one penny more to get your 53 guys. The NBA, they can blow it. They just have to pay a tax afterwards. Most of those guys don't care. They're billionaires.
Not at all. Could you imagine making $407 per second?
What makes you think I don't?
You're right. I was wrong to assume that. I'm sorry. But
no, I cannot.
That's just ridiculous.
I am happy making, you know, $407 a week sometimes.
but to kind of piggyback off of the NBA here, I don't know if you saw this, but it was real interesting to me that there was apparently the Indiana Pacers made an offer that Golden State Warriors absolutely could refuse. And it's probably the most interesting trade proposal that I have heard for Paul George, and one that I'm kind of surprised got rejected. The Pacers offered Paul George to the Golden State Warriors for Klay Thompson. So,
when was this in the offseason here?
This was in this offseason. It was this offseason. And it was this offseason when he was getting marketed around before he traded him to Oklahoma City. It said, this is what Paul George said. He said that he would look forward to it because it'd be a good situation where he could win a championship. Okay. And he said, I think I would have been the Chris Paul to LA situation where the trade got denied, but obviously that can't happen because that was a league owned team. You know, and they denied the trade that their employees did, not just separate ball clubs making the trade like that. Do you think that Paul George would have been a better fit for that team or an upgrade over Klay Thompson?
No.
Why's that?
Well, one, that team's got a couple years of chemistry. They've played together now for 3 straight NBA finals.
Yeah, outside of Durant.
Outside of Durant.
And the other guys. I mean, the core of Draymond, Steph,
and
Klay
have
been around forever, and then Iguodala signed like 3 years ago, and he's still on the team. So, yeah, they're a core.
I think messing up that core three, would, you know, Durant's kind of a chameleon. He could have fit in just about anywhere he went.
Right.
I don't think that Paul George is that big of an upgrade over Klay Thompson under any situation, but as far as the disruption to team chemistry, I think it makes it even more obvious not to take that trade.
I guess what it makes to me is that when it comes to the two players, you're going to have to re-sign Klay Thompson to a contract here soon.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to rival what Paul George makes. So I would have to look at it 5 years from now. Do I think that Klay Thompson over the next 5 years is better for my team than Paul George over the next 5 years? And I'd have to say no. And I know how good Klay Thompson is. Give us a call at 381-1313. This is ESPN Sports Radio 1300. I know how good Klay Thompson is. He's a sharp shooting, dead-eye three-pointer. You know, he can. I mean, he's a guy that can fill up the bucket whenever he wants. Most records for points in a quarter, scored 60 and 3. He is the. I mean, if we're talking about microwave guys, he is the one that can heat up quicker than anybody else. But I think that Paul George's combination of talent and defense, he might have improved that team. We'll talk about this a little more when we come back right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
I worry that people who want us to stand up for them against bully insurance companies are afraid to ask for our help because they think they can't afford us. Let me put your mind at ease. Here's what no recovery, no fee means at our firm. First, your initial consultation is absolutely free. Next, we understand that most people don't have the money to pay hourly attorney's fees, and the insurance industry has unlimited monies. So you only pay us a percentage of your recovery when we win. Finally, there are expenses in working a case up, like accident reconstruction, investigators, court filing fees, and so on. We advance these costs as well. If we make no recovery, you don't owe these either. You need a firm with deep pockets to fight the insurance companies toe-to-toe. You will never owe us one penny unless we win. Visit forthepeople.com for more information. No charge there either. Morgan & Morgan, forthepeople.com. Offices, Lexington.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away. So I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-900-5338. That's 1-800-900-5338. 1-800-900-5338.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street. And it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street, TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Welcome back into ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Angelo and Sean filling in for Dan and Mary Jo today. We last left off talking about the topic of Paul George and Klay Thompson, whether that the Warriors should have given up Klay for Paul George. And the way that I kind of see it is that you have to value, it just depends on what you value Klay at. Because if you think that this is a guy, because you saw the defense that he played in this year's finals. Okay, so Paul George, is he that big of an upgrade defensively over Klay Thompson? You kind of got to say that it's almost neutral now because, I mean, he played lockdown defense, especially on Kyrie in those waning seconds of game three on how just well that he played. I did not know he could be that kind of defender.
No, it was kind of surprising.
And when it comes to Paul George, you have to ask yourself, is Paul George definitely a silly? Because, I mean, as much as I like Klay, if I could have Kevin Durant and Paul George on the same team, that would be, I mean, you're just talking about length and shooting between both of those guys. You know, if you made Kevin Durant 6'8", maybe he'd be a little bit like Paul George. Paul George obviously isn't as good as Kevin Durant, but, I mean, they kind of have the similar set on where they are really long defenders and they both can shoot the three well. And I think that I think when it comes to that, it's kind of like what we have here at Kentucky. You've got Steven Johnson and you've got Gunnar Hoke because the depth chart also got released Monday, right, where there weren't really any big surprises. I think if you saw the depth chart like I did, I don't think there were many surprises. The only thing that was kind of interesting was that at the quarterback position, Steven Johnson was one.
As there should be.
There was no two. It was Drew Barker or Gunnar Hoke.
Yeah.
Two. Okay, so they did not establish between the two who was going to be the backup, and I guess who's kind of going to be the transfer, but I think Gunnar Hoke's going to win that job as the backup quarterback, especially with the way he played in the spring game.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And Drew Barker, other than the first half of the first game he played in, didn't really show much when he had the opportunity to be the starter.
Right, and but my comparison, what I'm trying to get to is that you got Steven Johnson. You know who he is. He got you wins. He's right. He's a very, you know, good for your team, good for your core, good for your chemistry.
Oh, are you saying Steven Johnson is the Klay Thompson in this scenario?
Exactly.
Okay.
And maybe Gunnar Hoke is like your Paul George.
Okay.
A guy that you could have brought in to be the starter and why UK still has a chance. So this is done. You know, this trade got denied. He's gone to OKC. It's moved on. But in comparison, this moves on to what we are going to see here in the next coming month in deciding who really is the starting quarterback. Because I fully believe that Steven Johnson will start the very first game of the season.
Yeah.
But no, will he end the season as the starting quarterback is the question that I have on that. Because I think that Gunnar Hoke kind of is the Paul George of this situation, to where if you put Gunnar Hoke in, maybe at the beginning, it's not what maybe Steven Johnson could be. Maybe Klay Thompson's a little better for you now. Mm-hmm. But here in a couple games, or maybe them at the end of the year, maybe you've prolonged your championship window for your Golden State a little bit longer. Just like maybe you kind of stretch out the wins towards SEC play. Maybe going into next year with him as a starter, you've established the top quarterback in the SEC for 2018. And you've got a team that can contend not only for the SEC East Championship, but the SEC Championship. Now, do I think Gunnar Hoke should start right off the bat? Probably not. Do I think Gunnar Hoke could start for this team if there was no Steven Johnson and us be just as good of a team? I absolutely do.
I think so?
I think Gunnar Hoke, with the talent that he displayed, it depends if he's ready mentally. But going into that spring game where he showed all that promise, he looked like a guy that is ready. That is someone that's ready to take on just maybe... Still has to get used to the competition, obviously, but he looked like he was ready to take on a bigger challenge, to take on responsibility. With his running ability, with his arm talent, the guy has a future. It might be an NFL future that he's that good. And I think that his game, with the accuracy that he has with that arm strength, you know, a guy like Gunner is just, again, give us a call, 381-1313. Talk anything under the sports.
Well, Steven Johnson's a senior, right?
Steven Johnson senior. He's gone after this year.
And Hoke is a freshman?
Redshirt freshman.
Mm-hmm. So Hoke can...
He can realistically come in and start the next two or three years. Which makes it interesting, because this is what makes it so interesting. If you've heard a lot recently just talking about the depth of the quarterbacks here at UK, mm-hmm. on how this may be, since the turn of the century, you know, post-Couch, this might be the most talent we've ever had at the quarterback position as a whole. Not as a singular entity, because I think, you know, between the guys, you know, as talented as Gunnar Hoke is, we don't really know what he brings to the table, unlike a guy like maybe Andre Woodson did, like Jordan Lorenzen did. So
yeah, yeah, that one year where you had Boyd Newton.
Yeah.
That was a pretty talented year.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, this is a good crop.
Yeah, exactly, because it's who you have at 2 and 3. We've not really had this kind of depth before at the quarterback position, where if any of these three guys started... You know, maybe Barker coming back from the injury, but beforehand, Barker was a 4-star quarterback prospect who every single Kentucky fan, believe it or not, absolutely wanted him.
Yep.
So we have to look at that.
And wanted him starting as a freshman.
Exactly. So with as talented as these quarterbacks are right now, and we're having this conversation, imagine the pressure that's going to be on this staff when future 5-star, if not already 5-star quarterback, was the most impressive at his recent camp showing over the number one overall quarterback recruit, according to Rivals, that's in Jaren Williams, mm-hmm. that we're bringing in. So even if Gunnar Hoke even were to come in, or even Steven Johnson starts the whole year, he has a great year, when Jaren Williams comes in, they're going to be breathing down the coaching staff's neck. The UK Nation's going to go a little crazy, because we haven't had a core as good as Barker was, as good as Hoke is, as good as Hartline was, Maxwell Smith, some of these guys that have come in, even Andre Woodson.
Yeah.
We haven't had a quarterback prospect like this come along.
No, absolutely not. Not since Couch.
Exactly. This is a guy that Georgia wants to succeed Jacob Eason. This is a guy that Alabama wants to succeed Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a guy that major top flight programs wanted to come in and take over their program and be their next guy. And a guy that could have gone elsewhere to be an SEC title, ACC title contender, national championship contender. And he came here to play for the Cats. And I think that this town's going to go, once football season, once this time next summer, they're going to be going a little stir crazy over wanting to push Jaren Williams into the thrust of the starting spotlight.
It's possible. But I think Stoops' goal is to never play a freshman if he can. He wants to redshirt everybody that comes in so that you got your, you know, obviously if there's somebody that comes in like this kid and just lights it up in the spring.
Right. There was only one true freshman that was on either the first or second string of the depth chart. But when we come back, we're going to give a little preview to the second half of the MLB season and where the Reds are going to be headed as well, right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away. So I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-900-5338. That's 1-800-900-5338. 1-800-900-5338.
We should go camping, Sally said. Kevin stared at his wife. The foil-wrapped campfire meal they were eating at Cracker Barrel was changing her. It made chicken taste better, and it made his air-conditioning-loving wife suggest camping? Or maybe, Sally said, we should get a bonfire-scented candle in the gift shop. Kevin smiled. She's still my wife, after all. Campfire meals are back for the summer. So stop on by Cracker Barrel and enjoy every little thing. Let's go out for lunch, someone finally said. Their coworker Ashley was on a beach vacation, and looking at the pictures she was posting made everyone jealous. Cracker Barrel has weekday lunch specials, Kate suggested. A different one every weekday for just $5.99. Who needs a beach? They all said. We're going on a lunch vacation. They even brought back a little gift for Ashley. Stop on by for $5.99 weekday lunch specials at Cracker Barrel. Enjoy every little thing.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Welcome back into ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Angelo and Sean here filling in for Dan and Mary Jo. You can catch me on Twitter at AngeloCarryArrow8. And you can catch us on Twitter at ESPN Radio Lex, where we have a poll up right now where we're asking you all, who's going to win the SEC East this year, since SEC Media Days have come and gone? And that's kind of the hot-button topic right now. We've got...
It's a landslide.
It is a landslide. This sounds like a Dixie Chicks song. Is it ready for me to sing Dixie Chicks now?
Well, that's Fleetwood Mac song.
Well, I know. I understand. Different generation.
72%.
And that was voted... Who
Kentucky 72? Is going to win the
Over
SEC
who?
East. 21% say Georgia, 7% say Florida.
And Goose
0%. Say Tennessee.
On Tennessee, which it should be. I mean, Tennessee just lost so much talent last year. It's going to take them a while to, because as much as we have a senior quarterback, They are having to establish a brand new quarterback wherever they go. Our senior quarterback won 7 games last year. So it's going to be a lot easier for Kentucky to come up and perform well than a team like Tennessee. So at least that's accurate. You know, as much as I think those are the 3 teams this year in the SEC East. I think there are 3 teams that are going to be competing for the top, and that is Georgia, mm-hmm. Florida, mm-hmm. and the University of Kentucky Football Wildcats.
And that means that the Missouri Tigers are your 2017 SECS champions.
They got the lowest amount of votes. What happened to Missouri? You come into terrible. The SEC. You come into the SEC, and that's supposed to boost your recruiting at least 1 star prestige. And you come in, and now you're 388. It's like they almost forgot you existed here.
You know, they came in hot.
They came in hot. They won two SEC East in a row. Yeah.
And then that group that came in graduated or left or whatever.
What happened, though?
And nobody came in to replace them. Nobody wants to go to Missouri.
I mean, if you got those kids to come to Missouri when they're in the Big 12, why aren't they not coming when they're in the SEC?
SEC's a lot tougher.
Yeah, it's a lot tougher, but that's where you get drafted. That's where you get drafted. You play in the SEC. That's why if you look at a lot of guys that are drafted out of the SEC, it's surprising because everybody talks about the top.
Yeah.
Because you got guys like Patrick Peterson, got guys like Cam Newton, you got guys like, trying to think of the last draft, anyways.
Whoever.
I mean, you just got, you have a lot of guys that are drafted at the SEC at the very top. You know, Julio Jones, AJ Green, blah, 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 blah. Okay.
Right.
A lot of where the SEC gets drafted is in the middle rounds. It's not the top flight. It's not the top. That's why, like, Kentucky linebackers, when they get drafted in the middle rounds most of the time, except if you're a guy like superstar Bud Dupree.
Right.
You know, you get drafted there. And, I mean, that's not even just, like, the Kentuckys, the Vanderbilts. No, that's the Alabamas. That's the Auburns. That's mm-hmm. the, you know, Carl Lawson, you know, 4th-round draft pick, defensive end out of Auburn.
That's Alabama's 15th, 16th, and 17th draft picks coming in rounds 4, 5, and 6.
Absolutely.
1 through 13 come in the
Absolutely.
First round.
Absolutely. But that's what the SEC does for you. And that's what they should do when it comes to, you know, when you want to go to Missouri. But anyways, we're not, you know, we don't want to spend, you know, too much time on the University of Missouri Tigers on this. But
now, I would be stunned if Kentucky finishes 5th. Mm-hmm. I would not be stunned, but I would be surprised if they win the East outright. I think they have a shot, but I see them more in that 2-3 slot this year.
Exactly, but I mean, as a Kentucky football fan that I am, especially with this year, I really want to see us finish at least 2nd.
It's a very distinct possibility that they could. It's a distinct possibility they could win it.
It's expectation because here's the thing. Vanderbilt can't hold a candle to us. Missouri is down this year.
Yeah.
South Carolina's been down. Even when Spurrier was still there, he left because they were just going down. He didn't have it. There's nothing left in the tank.
Coach in South Carolina, Will Muschamp.
Yes.
Who's Will Muschamp? He's nobody.
I guess. Yeah. I mean,
he failed at Florida.
Nobody
fails at Florida.
I was going to say, he didn't really fail at Florida. I
no,
mean,
he didn't.
He did okay. Just the expectations.
Yeah.
Again, why players would want to come to the SEC? The expectations are so incredibly high. It's like that saying, you shoot for the stars so you can fall amongst the clouds. You know, it's one of those things. That's why you come to the SEC. Is that not the saying?
No, I think that works.
Okay, I was gonna say,
the moon, you still end up among the stars.
There we go. Thank you. I was kind of a league lower there. I was the ACC of that comparison right there.
I think you're the Big 12.
you mean just a college, high school, Texas football, that Big 12? So in all seriousness, there are 2 teams in this, along with Kentucky, that even have a chance. It's the Georgia and the Florida. And you know, like just like every team in the SEC faces each other, you know, at least SEC East faces each other at least once. I think we have a better shot. They always, you know, those higher teams always gear up, you know, towards each other or whatever. And a lot of them, I don't think their players know that this is the Kentucky team that's supposed to be the Stoops team that changes everything around.
Yeah.
This is where Darius West and Mike Edwards at safety, those guys that were 2 4-star safeties coming in that we were expecting to do this. This is Jordan Jones being possibly SEC Defensive Player of the Year. This is Denzel Ware doing his thing. This is the guys like guys like Steven Johnson and Benny Snell really carrying this offense around with a senior and junior laden wide receiver core. The whole point of this is to say that at the SEC Media Days, UK was, I think, just completely disrespected because this is the team. And I know they have to go out on the field and prove it, but I think they will get on the field and they'll prove it. And just to not have Benny Snell on that all SEC running back team at anywhere.
He's going to be, he's never going to say it, but he's mad.
So, and I guess just to end it off is just, I don't see how Kentucky didn't get a first team vote, but Tennessee and South Carolina did. I guess that maybe just the brand name, there's some things on that. But we'll be coming back in hour two. We're going to talk a little bit about why basketball prospects are starting to commit because of assistant coaches and what that means for the future of college basketball right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-700-9159. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-700-9159. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-700-9159. 1-800-700-9159.
Stay away from downed power lines and keep others away as well. If you spot a downed line or need to report an outage, call KU at 800-981-0600. To track restoration, visit lge-ku.com/storm.
This is Dan from Courtesy Acura. We're selling cars like candy bars. Back to the classic rock. Sweet ride home.
Looking for something to do tonight? Go watch Lexington's top musicians at Central Bank Thursday Night Live, where they'll compete for grand prizes like the headline performance at the Lyric, a music streaming sponsorship, and more. This is all part of Windstream's new program called Lexington Untapped, a competition to discover the best local acts. Visit LexingtonUntapped.com to learn more about the program and how you can vote for your favorite musician.
At Fifth Third Bank, we're working hard to make security features of Fifth Third better, which is why we developed a suite of state-of-the-art security solutions. Designed with advanced technology to help keep you and your money safe from bad guys.
Wait, what?
Like our fraud alerts, which alert you to any suspicious activity on your account.
Nothing to see here. Oh, man. I hate alarms.
And our one-touch mobile login, which keeps any you, besides the real you, from accessing your mobile account.
Access denied.
Oh, how do they know?
Fifth Third Security Solutions keep your accounts a Fifth Third safer and more secure. And those bad guys? A Fifth Third more likely to leave you alone.
Why is this so hard? You know what? I give up. I'm retiring.
This is banking. A Fifth Third better. Learn more at 53.com.
Fifth Third Bank, member FDIC.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLXG Lexington. And LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Breaking news, Garbiñe Muguruza defeated Venus Williams in the ladies' final at Wimbledon for her second Grand Slam title. Muguruza is the first woman to defeat both Venus and Serena Williams in a Grand Slam final. For Venus, it is her first loss in a Wimbledon final to a player other than sister Serena. Home Run Derby winner Aaron Judge and the Yankees take on the first-place Red Sox today, 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Chris Sale getting the call for Boston. He leads the majors in strikeouts, strikeouts per nine innings, and strike percentage. Sale, one of four top eight pitchers in ERA, starting today. The others, Alex Wood goes for the Dodgers as they go for an eighth straight win when they face the Marlins. Wood has allowed hard contact in just 7% of at-bats so far this season. That is the best rate in the big leagues. Washington's Max Scherzer starts against the Reds in Cincinnati. He has the best ERA in baseball among qualified pitchers and leads the National League when it comes to strikeouts, strikeout percentage, and strike percentage. Corey Kluber on the hill for the Indians at the A's. Kluber 4-1, a 1.29 ERA since his return from the disabled list on June 1st. Giants ace Madison Bumgarner tonight makes his first start in nearly 3 months against the Padres. He's been sidelined with a sprained AC joint suffered in a dirt bike accident in April. A's Sonny Gray, the trade speculation with the July 31st deadline looming, says he still hasn't heard from management whether he's being shopped around, added it would be nice to have some feedback, but he guesses that is not how it works. Golf, Chen Shen Feng tops the leaderboard at the U.S. Women's Open.
Five NFL rookie camps are opening their doors on Wednesday. Who will have the biggest impact in their first year? Mike and Mike are talking football Monday morning, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to @DReefer or @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Welcome back into ESPN Sports Radio 1300. I'm the Dan and Mary Jo Show. Filling in today is myself, Angelo Carriero, and my co-host, Sean C.
Yep. I'm the best side gig in the business.
Oh, man. All right.
So much with so few words.
Absolutely. You can catch us at 381-1313. We've been talking about the SEC media days and how Kentucky has been utterly disrespected. If you want to call in and vent about that, you can. We also have a Twitter poll up at ESPN Radio Lex is where you can find us on Twitter. You can mention us there with any of your comments or questions. We have the Twitter poll there that is asking, who will win the SEC East this year? Will it be Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, or the University of Kentucky Football Wildcats? You can also download our app at the App Store. Type in WLXG in the search bar and download our app. You can take ESPN Sports Radio 1300 anywhere on the go. And also we have coming up today at 3 o'clock, we will have Red Sox-Yankees. Ooh, what a rivalry.
Yeah, what a disaster for the Yankees last night, too. Aroldis Chapman walked in the winning run. And Boston buries the Yankees even further this year.
It's unbelievable. But I'll tell you what, the Yankees are going to come back for some vengeance today, starting at 3 o'clock here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. And it's going to be followed by the Nationals and Reds, which last night is kind of the same way that happened. You know, Bryce Harper is pretty much what he does. Easily you could say that is exactly what his last name should be, as he nailed two dingers against the Reds to take them down. I think the score is, 6-2? Anyways.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the point that I said in last hour we're going to talk about is the second half of the MLB season. Now, the MLB All-Star game is kind of the feather in the cap.
It was 5-0.
It was 5-0?
Yeah, it was 5-0.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if anybody else out there doesn't know, I'm a Cubs fan. You know, I respect the Reds. I think the Reds are a fine baseball franchise. But, you know, the more losses the Reds take, I mean, I can't be too upset about it, is because the Cubs are doing pretty bad themselves this year. And they just traded for Jose Quintana. I said his last name right. He's from the White Sox, you know, that other side of the city. We traded our top two prospects for him, the Chicago Cubs. And it's just to have add a starting pitcher like that to a rotation that has John Lester, John Lackey, Jake Arrieta, a lot of J's. Jose?
Yeah.
That's a lot of J's.
That's a J, yeah.
Yeah, that's a J heavy.
You just call him Joe.
Joe?
Just to make him fit in, make him feel welcome.
Jokey? Say however you want, but really it's not even the pitching staff. These hitters got to stay. You know, once the steroid era kind of ended in baseball, the most premium thing you could have is either a top flight pitcher, but even more than that was a pure, clean power home run hitter that could also hit for average, hit for RBI, guy that was all around, but could also hit home runs. And that's what the Cubs absolutely focused on. And the 2016 World Series champions are just not producing. They don't. And that's what the most amazing thing about what I was going to say is that the second half of this season is always marked by the All-Star game. And I always find that really fun because in the NBA, they wait until like the week or two after the Super Bowl, once everybody's kind of like, football's over, I'm done. You know, I love that. I'm full off football. I'm going to want it again in 3 months, but I'm done for now. So the NBA All-Star game, they roll the ball out. They take the absolute biggest and brightest superstars that their conglomerate has to offer, and they put them out there, and it marks the second half. That's when you pay attention. That's when you watch the playoffs, and that's where you get into it. Well, MLB All-Star game, as big as MLB is and how the gravitas it pulls and how people definitely fall. Reds fans only get to enjoy the pre-All-Star break most of the time.
That's true.
So
the past few years especially.
So It's they do the same thing. MLB finals are over, NBA drafts over. We're sick of the NBA. We don't want any more NBA. They roll out the ball and get your mitt, and they show the All-Star game. I thought this year's All-Star game, by the way, was phenomenal. You're talking about baseball is considered mostly, especially to young people, like, you know, kind of a dying sport.
Yeah.
But this is the type of All-Star games you have to bring the youth back in, because this was star-studded. And a lot of people want to be like, well, it's the respect of the game. It's the tradition. And look, yeah, it is. That's why we love sports. That's why we get into sports in the beginning. But to bring the viewer in, there's so many things they can look at these days. It's not just five channels on the TV, and baseball is one of the things. There's internet now. There are 5,000 channels out there. There are 70 different sports out there that are trying to grab your attention. It's harder for baseball now more than ever, but they did it for a couple of days. My attention was wholly grabbed by the star power and the gravitas of Major League Baseball's young stars.
Yeah.
And it's funny because there was kind of a veteran in Robinson Cano, which is weird to say that he's a veteran now, even for me. You know, but he hit that home run to
propel. Been around a long time, Cano.
Yeah. He propelled. Well, yeah, he took the job from my favorite, you know, Yankee / Cub of all time, Alfonso Soriano at second base, but we won't go there for now. He led him to a 2-1 win, but it was Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
It was Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm.
It was guys like that. It was Giancarlo Stanton. It was Nelson Cruz that took the selfie with the umpire. You had young phenoms like Miguel Sano. That's not even including two of the brightest top echelon stars that weren't there, and Chris Bryant and Mike Trout. One because they didn't get voted in, the other one because he was hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and those are that's the Mickey Mantle of baseball in Trout, and then Bryant's going to be one of the best players of the last 25 years, along with Harper and Trout and all these guys. They had all the star power there. The pitchers, yeah, top
and
flight.
And they showed that they're not so serious. They had a good time.
Yes.
There's pictures, you know, Aaron Judge is like 14 feet tall, and there's pictures of him next to 2 foot tall Jose Altuve. But
former Lexington legend, yeah, Jose Altuve.
The other team is holding Jose Altuve up, so he's tall, and his feet are like 2 feet off the ground.
You can give us a call, 381-1313, talk about anything under the sports sun here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. And
baseball should be a game of personalities.
It is, and that's the way you shine.
That's been lacking in the recent past, but this younger group that's coming up, mm-hmm. your Trouts, your Harpers, your Bryants, your Altuves, your Aaron Judges even, they've got some personality. Your donkey guy.
Oh, Zach Cozart, Joey Votto. Yeah,
sorry, Zach couldn't pull his name out. Zach Cozart.
And it's that type of thing, because in football the draw isn't really the personalities, it's the wowing of athleticism. It's the intensity. Yeah. It's the physicalness of that sport. Basketball's half and half, because it is a lot of the times I want to see amazing athleticism, but it's how you do it. It's guys like LeBron has his own style, Curry has his own style, Durant has his own style.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like a mixed breed. I'll tell you what, as technical as baseball is, from how far do you dip your shoulders and swing your hips into your swing? Is it level? Mm-hmm. Do you uppercut? Like, how's your style, your throwing motion? Like, stylistically, that's where baseball has to be, is in the personalities, because yeah. every home run kind of looks the same. You hit a home run, you hit a home run. You don't have Griffey's swing anymore. You don't have the Derek Jeter just short, you know, the grab the ball
and throw.
Yeah, the jump throw. You don't really have that anymore. There's no definition, you know. You have maybe a couple of guys, but it's not national anymore. It's not anybody you can go up to and ask, like, Derek Jeter's signature move, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, where he jumps up and throws the ball? Yeah, that's that. But you don't have that anymore stylistically in baseball. So you have to focus on the personalities to bring that out. And I think baseball did a phenomenal job. They didn't take themselves so serious. That's why they took the rule out of, like, the World Series. And they actually did a good job now of marketing it for fun. Now, mm-hmm. how long can that last? Obviously, the NBA showed that sometimes having fun leads to not giving a crap.
Yeah.
Like, this All-Star game was terrible for the NBA. This was supposed to be, I mean, they have all the young stars now. This is the new generation. And it was, I mean, it was an embarrassment this year for them.
Yeah,
but
the NBA All-Star game, it's two steps above the NFL Pro Bowl.
I mean, it used to be kind of good. I mean, even 2 years ago, the last 4 minutes was competitive. You know, and that was the thing. At least the fourth quarter, you saw these guys play in what is just a legitimate best-in-the-world scenario.
Yeah.
And this year, they didn't, even into the fourth quarter, they didn't care. But anyways, the MLB All-Star game, I thought, especially with the starting pitchers and how dominant you've got, like Scherzer and Chris Sale and a lot of these guys, I just figured that this is what they needed, and they had the chance. Did you actually feel a calm before the storm, like that kind of brewing, like you saw it and you're like, okay, this All-Star game might be different. This All-Star game might be the one to kind of bring baseball kind of back.
Yeah, you could. Honestly, more so than the game itself was the Home Run Derby.
Yes,
people
absolutely.
Were very, very. There was a lot of buzz, a lot more buzz around the Home Run Derby this year than there has
better
been
than
in
the slam
past.
Dunk contest.
Better
anymore.
Than the slam dunk contest.
And those are the two best. Those are the two pride ones. You know, in all the All Star events, you know, the skills competition, the NFL's kind of trying to. But I mean, you do that. You know, all the time.
Yeah, and the NHL, their stuff is cool, but it's very fringe.
And it really started with the Cubs winning the World Series because that caught national attention. Oh, 108 years. It finally got broken, and eyes were back on baseball. Just for a little, even if it was for a bit.
Yeah.
National eyes were back on baseball, and that's, you know, even with the Cubs suffering this year, this All-Star game was to show you should stick around for the future. You know, it's almost like baseball is becoming niche these days, like a lot like WWE wrestling is becoming like a niche where it's not national anymore. It's not popular. So I thought they did a good job of bringing it back this year. So in the MLB standings, so I told you all we're going to talk about the Reds, and they are 39-50 right now, 10.5 games back, and it's not looking too good.
No, it's not looking too good. They started out with a little bit of promise, but that whole division, the NL Central, is they've just been kind of
a major disappointment.
Yeah.
There's no kind of to it.
Milwaukee's the only team in the division with a winning record right now.
Look,
they're 51-41,
and that's Milwaukee. Who would have thought?
That's the Brewers.
Who would have thought Milwaukee before the season? I mean, obviously the Reds would probably have been the doormat. And guess what, Cincinnati fans, the Reds have not been terrible this year.
No,
they might be going through some terrible times. But this is a team, you just got Hunter Green, who's going to be your next Ken Griffey Jr., is like a phenom star, you know, type of guy. You've got a team that's loaded with young talent that has shined. Your bullpen, especially at the beginning of the year, just overachieved leaps and bounds. I mean, this has been a good year for what was supposed to be the worst team in baseball.
Yeah.
You know, I think, like, if you're a Reds fan, do not hang your head. But you did great, you know, especially this far. There's a chance to come back. I'm not saying they are. But there's not. It's not like it's over. 10.5 games in this NL Central might as well be a half game. Especially, you see how it fluctuates all the time, especially towards the last 2 weeks of baseball, how 7.5 games can even be made up. It's not impossible for the Reds to come back and actually perform.
And think about it, Reds fans. It could be worse. Could be the Phillies.
You could be the Phillies.
The 29-59 Phillies, who are 23.5 games out of first.
They can come back. I'm sure that could happen. No, not at all. Get your game up, Philadelphia. What are you doing?
And the Giants. The Giants are 27 games out.
I don't care. I'm glad the Giants are not supposed to.
Well, sure.
Yeah, they're the Giants. I mean, I understand.
27 games.
Tell me that the NL West isn't just kind of took you by surprise that sans Giants, they are the strongest division.
Yeah.
Even without the Giants, the NL West, the strongest division in baseball? What?
Yeah.
If I would have told you that, Giants are going to finish in last place and the NL West is going to have the strongest division in baseball, what do you say to me?
No, the Dodgers must have had a hell of a season.
They must have gone undefeated.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I'm trusting in the Padres very much, nor am I trusting in the Diamondbacks, but look at where the Diamondbacks are. Look at where the Rockies are. If you're talking about the NL wild card race, I mean, like, think about it. The Rockies are third in their division, and they're literally have a better winning percentage and have more wins and less losses than the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, they're 8 games up in the wild card.
Yeah.
For the second wild card.
Unbelievable. It's just, to see that, it's just because I thought the Central was going to be so good this year. But, you know, it's really the Cardinals. The Cardinals do a really good job of having an ironclad farm system, and they can lose guys and bring guys up, and it's just not that year for the NL.
I'm sorry. Colorado's only 6.5 games up on the Cubs for that second wild card, not 8.
That's sad to hear.
My eyeball math wasn't so great.
But, yeah, the Dodgers are the class of baseball this year outside of the Houston Astros.
Yeah, Dodgers and Houston.
I mean, they're on a collision course.
As Stu Gatz would say, collision course.
They're on a collision course right now for the World Series. But, so when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about the MLB second half of the baseball. We're also going to talk about is there a growing problem in college basketball with college basketball recruits going to schools for assistant coaches and what happens when they want to decommit when they leave? We'll be back right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. I won't ever think I'm better than the next man. I've been down before to come up all these stresses. Baby, I'm too busy counting all these blessings.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know you love the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
When did you cry during Little Giants?
At the end, when they finally break through and win again.
Yes or no, Fats and Info, you cried during Cool Runnings, yes or no?
No.
Guillermo, yes or no?
No.
Roy, yes or no?
No.
Mike, yes or no?
That's only you, man.
Okay, I'm alone. I feel very fragile, very vulnerable, very nude.
Dan Levitard, weekdays 10 to 1 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Our military service members volunteer to protect us in the most dangerous places around the world. They step up. And when they are severely ill or injured, returning to their families is only the beginning of their long road home. Beyond all the hospitals and doctors and surgeries they need just to survive, they also deserve whatever they need to truly live. All the in-home care and day-to-day help they need to live independently, on their own terms. Wounded Warrior Project long-term support programs were established to provide these brave men and women whatever they need to continue their fight for independence at no cost for life. So many of them need us, and it's time for a grateful nation to step up. Find out how you can do your part at findwwp.org.
The Arctic Cat no-brainer sales event is back with savings of up to $4,500 on brand new 2015 to 2017 ATVs and side-by-sides. You can stop thinking and start riding. Deals include a 2016 Wildcat X1000 for just $12,999 and the 2017 Altera 400 4x4 ATV for just $3,999. It's a no-brainer. Hurry into MLS Power Sports on Barrett's Pike in Georgetown for the no-brainer sales event now. Offer valid participating dealers while supplies last and subject change. Inventory may vary by dealer. Not all applicants will qualify. See dealer for details and program dates. Always wear a helmet and don't drink and ride.
Ride victoriously. Ride rough. Ride tough. MLS Power Sports. Got the ride you're looking for.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
We're back here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 here in Lexington. We're talking about the MLB season right now. They're saying that you can catch Dan and Mary Jo at that Twitter. You can catch us at AngeloCarriero8. And if Sean wants to give out his Twitter, he can.
You can check it at Yes That Sean.
And you can also hit us up on at ESPN Radio Lex on Twitter. And we have a poll up right now asking you all what the SEC, who is going to win the SEC East this year. We've got Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and Kentucky as the options. And right now, the leader is?
Kentucky's still pulling over 70%.
Still pulling over 70%.
Georgia 18, Florida 12, Tennessee 0.
Goose egg. So that's definitely where Tennessee belongs, to be honest, in this conversation. But on top of that, you can hit us up on Facebook as well, facebook.com/ESPN Radio Lex. You can give us a call at 381-1313.
I feel bad for Tennessee. I should go vote for Tennessee just to make them feel better.
If you vote for Tennessee, I don't know what I'm going to do.
You don't feel bad for them? You don't feel you don't want them to get a participation vote?
Not at all. Not at all. They're champions of life. That's all they need. They don't need a vote in this poll.
Tennessee's champions of life?
Did you not hear that? Did you not hear that at the end of last year?
Yes, oh, God, yeah.
The Butch Jones quote?
Yes, I had forgotten.
Okay, I was about to say, that sorry. Was pretty... We might not have done well this year, champions of life. Well, it's going to get you fired, Butch, probably, if you keep being this champion of life. Anyways, give us a call at 381-1313. We'll talk about anything under the sports sun. We can talk about the SEC East, talk about the second half of the MLB season, talk about the SEC Media Days, whatever y'all want to talk about on that. But... right now. Oh, and also go to the App Store. Download our go to the App Store, search WLXG. You can download our app so you can take us anywhere on the go. In the second half of the season, we are looking at a couple of close division races and a couple of not so close. And it's even the best team in baseball can't even pull away from their own division because of how good they are performing. The Los Angeles Dodgers have the most wins in Major League Baseball right now with 62, with a winning percentage of 68%, which is also number one. But, man, if the Diamondbacks and Rockies aren't sticking around.
Yeah, 8.5 back. Arizona's 8.5 back. Colorado's 10.5 back.
They're trying to make it a party.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think the Dodgers are the best team in baseball. I think the Dodgers have the best record in baseball, I think Houston is the best team in baseball.
Houston is absolutely, I think, the best team in baseball. And not only that, the Dodgers
just 16.5 over second place.
Exactly. That division, I mean, that was a walk. And I'll tell you what, this Astro team might be the most complete. As good as the Cubs were last year, and as high-end talent as the Cubs have, this might be the most complete baseball team that we've seen in some time.
And that division is hurt because the Angels haven't had Trout for a lot of the season.
Right, and the Rangers
and that would have swung the games a few ways.
Exactly, and the Rangers, man, but big money expenditures never could stay healthy. Something about those Rangers.
That's the Rangers. That's their MO, man. Right. They love doing that.
And I'll tell you what about the Dodgers is, you know, solid Dodgers. They're a good team. They've got good players. They choke. They are perennial chokers. Every year, they can have the best team. They can have the worst team. They can have whatever team. But they will find a way to choke. And that's just them. I mean, I think Clayton Kershaw is one of the best pitchers in baseball history. Yeah, I honestly believe that. He is easily the best baseball pitcher of his generation and maybe of last generation. I mean, how far do we have to go back? Like, in his prime, Pedro Martinez? Is that the last pitcher that rivaled Hal Good? Because I loved Roy Halladay growing up.
Yeah.
Clayton blows him.
It was a minute there where Verlander looked like he could be, but I don't think he quite got it.
Verlander was great, but, I mean, I personally don't think he could. He's on Kershaw's level. Because think about it. Kershaw's prime is just going and going and going. Verlander got caught with some injuries. You know, he's still a big name, but he's not. I mean, that Verlander's a good one because when he was peaking there, he was really, really good. I mean, he won the MVP and the Cy Young in the same season.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But, yeah, I mean, to find somebody like Kershaw, you got to look back to Pedro and Randy Johnson and Greg Maddux.
In their prime guys.
In their prime guys.
In their prime. That's how far it goes back. That's how good Clayton is. And even then, man, something about him when he gets in the playoffs, that curveball doesn't you know, break as hard. You know, the slider doesn't break as hard. The changeup comes a little bit faster. Fastball comes a little bit slower. Just something about it. And, you know, I've got a lot of Dodger fans that I know, and they are, of course, always excited. They're literally always excited.
Yeah.
And it just always ends badly for that team. Arizona has an MVP candidate in Paul Goldschmidt. Is he the most underrated great player of all time? Do you know who Paul Goldschmidt is?
You know, I wouldn't know Paul Goldschmidt if he was sitting next to me.
I wouldn't either. I have no idea what the dude looks like.
Yeah.
And ESPN did a top five players in baseball ranking. Mm-hmm. It was like Clayton Kershaw, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, all guys we know.
Yeah.
And Paul Goldschmidt was in the top five baseball players that are living and breathing playing today.
Yeah.
He's an MVP candidate. Has he ever won an MVP?
Do we know? I don't believe so. No.
Yeah. Let's check it out. But he's the greatest baseball player nobody knows of ever, and it's really astounding to me. And the Rockies, I mean, they're just solid team through and through. A lot of all-stars, a lot of talent. So that division's hard, unlike the one that the Astros are in, but yet the Astros are just so complete. They are just a well-built ball club. They tore it down.
Yep.
They were awful for years. They drafted a high school pitcher, number one overall, and didn't even sign him.
Yep.
That's how bad it was there for the Astros a little bit. But it seems like they hit on all the important ones. They built a good foundation. They were just really solid at developing their players. This Astro team is the most scary team in baseball. And I would almost think that even if the Cubs were hitting on all cylinders, this team might scare me just a little bit more.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, I mean,
I don't know if I even believe that because I'm such a, you know, big Cubs homer. But I mean,
homer.
Yeah.
But yeah, Altuve and Springer and all those guys.
Correa.
Yeah, that's a really, really good team.
It's a really good team. And, I mean, they've spent time this year without Dallas Keuchel.
Yep.
That'd be one of the best pitchers in baseball. So, it's when it comes to the second half, you're going to have some close races. The AL East, the AL Central, they're all going to be close. I don't think the NL East is going to be. I think that the Nationals are probably the favorite in the NL East right now.
Yeah, nobody's going to come. I think the Nationals might be the best team in the National League.
I do, too, because as good as the Dodgers are, and look, I would say, you know, I'd have to say that the Dodgers are performing the best right now, But when it's all said and done and 162 games are over and the playoffs come on, I think the Nationals are the best team in the National League right now.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah. So, and they, I think they have the best combination of top end hitting talent and top end pitching talent. Because yes. When you can go Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg 1-2, give me a break.
Yeah.
Give me a break. Literally. Like, break me in half. That is amazing.
And they got Ryan Zimmerman.
They got Ryan Zimmerman, who's an MVP candidate, mm-hmm. even though he plays with literally the phenom of his generation in Bryce Harper.
They got two MVP candidates on the offensive side.
On the offensive side and two Cy Young contenders mm-hmm. on the pitching staff. And they're a little more, I would say they're just a little more consistent than the Dodgers are. And whoever comes out of the Central, because if the Cubs, look, if that trade, now the Cubs gave up the number 5 overall prospect in baseball and their top pitching prospect, who was a top 100 player in baseball, according to Baseball America. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They've got those two guys that they gave up for Jose. We'll just call him Jose because Quintana, I think, is how you pronounce his last name, but I'm not
100%
sure.
Is it Quintana or is it Quintana?
It might be Quintana. Okay, we'll go with Quintana. So we the Cubs, excuse me, added a left-handed pitcher that's under good money over time and whatnot. Let's see. By the way, we got a little information about Paul Goldschmidt. If you all are still sitting there, who is Paul Goldschmidt? He plays for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's a 5-time All-Star, 2-time Gold Glover, 2-time Silver Slugger to go along with NL Hank Aaron Award, NL Home Run Leader in 2013, NL RBI Leader in 2013. The guy's been on the scene for a second doing really good things. And home run, I mean, he's pretty much, he's a lot like Joey Votto to me in that he can hit for average, hit for power, driving runs, but he steals bases.
Yeah, he's like a souped up version of Joey Votto.
Exactly. That's kind of how to describe what Paul Goldschmidt is. But if the Chicago Cubs can get this pitcher on their staff, and Arrieta turns it back on, because Arrieta was a deserving Cy Young winner. He's one of the best pitchers in I thought that when Jake Arrieta is hitting, he's the only guy that can go toe for toe with Clayton Kershaw when he's hitting mm-hmm. and actually make it. Or pitching, I guess. Hitting might not be the best word in the baseball sense. But when they're pitching against each other, I really think that Jake Arrieta is the one guy that can go toe-for-toe with him. But it hasn't happened this year. He's been really, really, really streaky. You know, Lester just does Lester thing. Lester's not a top 10 pitcher, but he's like a top 20 pitcher. That's why you paid him all that money, is he's never going to fall under that. So you're going to get somewhere in there for his pitching performance. You add Quintana to that, and if these bats can come back on, if Kyle Schwarber can get a spark lit under him, if Addison starts hitting more consistently, we got Javier, Ian Happ, all these guys. That team, if they can get hot by the end of the year, because what's the one thing in sports we always know? It's not how you start.
It's how you finish.
And it's how you finish.
Momentum.
So right now, with the way that the Cubs are performing, it's going to be a hard road for them to come back.
It is. And they need, maybe they just need somebody to come in there and throw a Lupinella-type fit at them. And I'm not sure Joe Maddon is a Lupinella fiery.
He's a World Series champion.
Though. He is a World Series champion. But.
So, I mean, they're only 5.5 games back. I think that's the one team. I think, of course, and mock me all you want, they're the sleeper team in the NL right now. Because once you awake that sleeping Cub, they're going to turn into a ferocious bear.
It's hard to call the Cubs a sleeper. They are the World Series champion.
Anyways.
I mean, if anybody's a sleeper, it's those Brewers.
Yeah, the AL, the AL Central is really interesting too, with Cleveland and Minnesota and Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City.
I mean, the last place team's 9 games back. I mean, they have a worse record than the Reds.
Yeah, and they just lost their big guy.
And they just lost their big guy to the to the north side,
to the crosstown.
Yeah, so I mean, this baseball. I think the second half of this baseball season, along with the All Star game and the Cubs winning the World Series, I think baseball is truly on the upswing. Right now. But when we come back, we're going to be talking about college basketball players and with the recent influx of how commits are starting to commit for assistant coaches and what they do and the university do once they leave right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Smoky Mountain Truck and Jeep Outfitters has everything you need for your car, truck, SUV, or Jeep, including professional window tinting. Don't settle for cheap film when you can have the best, starting at just $59. We have 3 full-time technicians ready to install your window tinting, 35% to as dark as a limousine.
Don't wait for days just to be disappointed. Plus, we'll beat any sale price. You'll also save on thousands of accessories. Remote car starts, every brand and truck covers, including back and X-Tang tonneau covers, tires, wheels, hitches, and Jeep accessories, leveling kits and lip kits, including BMW fifth wheel. At Smoky Mountain Truck and Jeep Outfitters, spray-on bedliners, toolboxes, backup cameras, and even car stereos are at fantastic prices. WeatherTech floor liners as low as $89. And we'll beat any internet price. It's all at Smoky Mountain Truck and Jeep Outfitters behind Aurora Pools and Spas just off West New Circle Road.
I've got a terrible stain on my best dress shirt. I was going to wear it on my business trip.
Don't worry. Just take it to Emperor's Cleaners in the Auto Hour Plaza on Richmond Road. They'll get that stain right out.
There's not enough time for that. I leave for my trip in 2 days.
That's still no problem. Emperor's Cleaners specializes in same-day dress shirt service. If you drop your shirts off by 9 a.m., they'll have them ready for you the same day.
Wow. Say, I've got a pair of dress pants that are too long. Do you think they could take care of that, too?
Absolutely. Emperor's Cleaners provides top-notch alteration services.
Well, I guess I better get over there and get this stuff dropped off. Thanks.
You'll be in good hands. Emperor's Cleaners will give your clothes a royal treatment. Visit Emperor's Cleaners in the Auto Hour Plaza on Richmond Road to keep your clothing looking sharp and stylish. You'll stay dressed to the nines with our royal treatment at Emperor's Cleaners.
Emperor's Cleaners in the Idle Hour Plaza on Richmond Road. Give your clothes the royal treatment.
Play the courses the champions play. The Pete Dye and Donald Ross courses at French Lick Resort. The 2017 NCGOA National Course of the Year, our Pete Dye course hosts the first ever Senior LPGA Championship presented by Old National Bank this July. French Lick's Donald Ross course is looking good as it turns 100 this summer and hosts the Donald Ross Centennial Classic Symmetra Tour event. Book your golf vacation now at FrenchLick.com.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Welcome back to ESPN Sports Radio 1300 here in Lexington. Filling in for Dan and Mary Jo today are myself, Angelo Carrio, and Sean C. There was a story last week that really caught my attention that I really wanted to talk about here, and that I'm glad that you're here to talk about it with me. Kind of a more experienced eye on the matter, would I say.
Okay.
There's been something that, I'll start with the story.
Okay.
Mitchell Robinson is a five-star Coach Calipari type of center, a guy that's 7 feet tall, all the athleticism and skill in the world, a guy that could have gone to any university that he wanted, okay? He committed to Western Kentucky University and signed his letter of intent.
Historical university.
Yes.
Success in the past. Not really.
It's not a blue blood school. They are a good college basketball school, but for their you know, weight. You know, they're good in their class, but they're not heavyweights, you know,
is
a good way to put it. But this kid's a heavyweight fighter.
Yeah, they're not a five-star recruit getting...
Right, that's not who they are as a university. But they did. They got Mitchell Robinson. They got, Hollingway?
Hollingworth?
I
think so, yeah.
The All-State basketball player, which obviously he was a great get for him. They also got a four-star player. So Western's having this class. Most of the time when you see small schools like that, there's usually a scandal involved, right? Financially?
Yeah.
Okay, Trayvon Hollingsworth is what I think his name is. Okay, anyways. So I to get down to it, they had an assistant coach, and I think a lot of people that grew up watching college basketball in the late 90s know that his name is Shamon Williams. Shamgod? Is that what they used to call him in North Carolina?
Did they? There was a player called Shamgod.
Yeah,
there was a kid that played for Providence whose name
Providence.
Was actually Shamgod.
Was that it? Oh, is that
it? It was God Shamgod was his name.
Oh, that's odd.
Yeah.
Anyways, Shamon Williams was a part of the 96, 97, 98, like North Carolina.
Yeah, those great mid-90s Stackhouse team.
No, Stackhouse, Carter, Rasheed Wallace, all those guys.
Right around in that time.
Yeah, so he was there, he played on those teams, and he was an assistant coach. Now, Rick Stansberry is the coach there now, former Mississippi State coach, Kentucky boy, you know, born and raised. So it was good to see him get these recruits and be at that school, but I thought it was because of him. I had read some stuff that, you know, Stansberry got him recruited, but it was really Shamon Williams that got Mitchell Robinson to come to the school, okay? So he was just released, let go, left, one of those three, that when he was of this last week. Okay. Mitchell Robinson did not show up to campus right away. There was speculation that he would not step foot on Western's campus, but apparently, talking to his mom, you made a commitment, you have to follow through with it. He showed up working late night in Diddle Arena, and he's going to play for Western next year. And then he'll probably go straight to the NBA.
Yeah.
Okay? But the interesting thing was is they already had two four-star recruits. You can go to any pretty much school that you want to in a lot of ways.
Yeah, for the most part.
And they chose Western. They immediately decommitted. They said with Williams out, the assistant coach, we are no longer considering, or that one of the players was like, I'm no longer considering Western Kentucky as a school. When did it become in basketball culture that you commit for an assistant coach? And that when that assistant coach leaves, that you leave the university with everything that is on the line for these young men, and they want to decommit, they want to get out of their letter of intent for an assistant coach. Yeah. Is this a common problem before this era? And is this going to grow into something that's going to be even bigger? Like how big is this problem for college basketball right now?
I've never heard of it before. I mean, yes, I know assistant coaches do a lot of the foundational recruiting work. They're the ones that develop right. the initial relationship.
Why Vince Morrow's done so
why
well.
Why Vince Morrow does so well. Why some of these big guys that come to Kentucky, they come because of Kenny Payne. He was the guy who got the door first.
Right.
But that is, I mean, committing to a school because of an assistant coach. If the assistant coach is any good, he's going to be a head coach.
Someday. But it's just, it blows.
Maybe even before you get to that school.
Right.
You commit typically before the off-season hiring frenzy right. goes on.
Right. So, and that's a big problem. I mean, most of the time, people even have problems because you're supposed to pick university for the academics, the program, the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's
a lot of times when you're a one-and-done player, you're committing for who can help you most get to the NBA. But here's the problem. A lot of these guys are committing for the relationships that they have created. I understand. If I was to go somewhere, I would want to, if I was a recruit, I'd like mm-hmm. to be someone like, you're a pretty cool boss overall.
Yeah.
So I would want to commit to someone, like you or like
So if I was to leave the program, would you decommit from working here and go work
somewhere else? I'm staying here at ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You came because of the school and not the person.
Exactly. And that's how most of the time it should be. And I understand creating great
relationships. That's how your long-term players, your 3 and 4 year players, they commit to the school.
Exactly.
And not the person.
So I just, when it comes to these top guys, how do you deal with that? You can't just, okay, so if you're a grown man and you have a program, 17, 18 year old, but you have to run this program, you have to make money for your university. So this 18 year old kid doesn't want to be at your university anymore because the guy that he committed for, the reason why he stayed, left. Do you let him go? Do you respect his wishes and let him go? Or does he have to stay through with his commitment for at least that year? And maybe, 4 years, just depending, on how the transfer or release got. I mean, he would have to transfer at that case.
Yeah.
In that case. But what do you do? What do you do in that situation?
You know, that's a tough question because you want the future 5-star players coming to your place as well. And if you have forced this...
Well, if you're Western, that's it. This is the only time.
It ain't happening. I don't know. That's a lot of power to put in the hands of a 17-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And luckily, I think the kid's mom, more so than the school, forced him to honor his commitment. And that's what you'd like to see. You'd like to see the parents. Because it's not like the head coach left. It's not like Stansbury left. When the head coach leaves, I think it's a whole different thing. The head coach, that guy you are more committing to than the program a lot of times when you're that 1-star. But committing to an assistant coach is just, I don't know, man. That's
give us,
it's kind of silly.
Give us a call at 381-1313. We're talking about the ramifications of high school basketball commits or football commits, committing for an assistant coach to a university along those lines. So when Williams left, they lost all those guys.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that I found interesting. I'm doing a little bit of research for an article about the Kentucky Wildcats. If they had a 2 or 3 and done rule, who would have committed, who wouldn't have?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going through the stages of their commitment and seeing, did I commit there because I wanted to be at a university that was prestigious, that could help me get, you know, my degree and whatnot, or was it somewhere where it was like, I love Calipari, I love, you know, getting practice for the NBA. Daron Lamb, I found out that when he committed, he seemed like he wanted to he would have rather gone to Kansas as a university overall.
Yeah.
But because of
Rod Strickland,
he who had New York ties with Daron Lamb, shooting star from Brooklyn, he chose Kentucky because of Strickland. And that's where it gets weird, too. Not even for Cal, not even the guy that's proven this. It's because he had the New York roots that he committed was for Strickland. We're going to talk about this with Matt. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good, sir. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I just want to touch on what you're just speaking at. I mean, especially when it comes to these one-on-ones and okay, they, you know, on their exit interview at the first, you know, one season, you know, they, you know, of course they're going to cite Cal. Even before that season, they're going to cite Cal as the reason they came. But you know darn well that they probably spent, you know, 90% of their time with any of the coaching staff with one, you know, Kenny Payne or, you know, Rod Strickland, like you mentioned. And for them to be real and say, you know, I came because of this assistant or that assistant, I don't see that as being so far-fetched. You just don't hear it, you know. I mean, I can assure you a lot of those players probably feel it, but they're not going to, you know, they're not going to discount that way when it comes to, you know, answering the question why they came to the university.
Right. Thank you for giving us a call, Matt. When it comes to that, when you have these guys that commit to the university for these guys, I totally understand wanting to have a Morrow, wanting to have a Payne, wanting to have a Strickland that you can latch on to. When you have a relationship, especially with somebody like a head coach is an ambassador for the program. There's so much more on the plate of the head coach. It's very difficult for these guys to establish a relationship. You think a guy like Rick Pitino's out there making heart-to-heart, you know, establishments with these players? Do you think Coach K has the time to go and make personal relationships with all these guys? They don't. They're too big. They have too far of a landscape they have to touch.
I think they do more so than the football coaches because there are fewer
players. Right.
And I think,
and then football coaches, it's a lot of the assistants. Yes. It's guys. And that's why guys like Kirby Smart go on.
Yeah, and their one-on-one work is with the assistants.
Right.
In football, more so than basketball.
Right. We're going to go ahead and bring the line. Chris, what's going on, man?
What's going on, fellas? How are you this morning?
Hey, man, we're doing great.
It's on your mind.
Personally, I would love to see the baseball type rule in college basketball. You want to go out of high school? Take your chances. These kids have a whole lot of information available to them about where they stand in the draft. I mean, and we're even starting to see it now with some of the underclassmen where they're declaring and not hiring an agent to see where they stand. But on the other side of that, you said you're doing research for an article, you know, or a story about where do these guys go if there's that type of rule. And I think that would be, overall, that would be good for the college game because, you know, the stars are the stars, but you're going to start to see this talent just spread out and spread out and spread out. And just for the sake of argument, take a kid like Luke Kennard, who's from Iowa, correct?
No, I think he's from Ohio.
Okay. Well, let's just, again, for the sake of argument, let's say it's a kid from Iowa who, you know, he's a five-star recruit. He's this and that, and he's getting recruited by Duke and by
Harrison
UK,
Barnes, yeah,
and by Kansas and all of that. But there's guys sitting there that, you know, he's looking at least 1 year on the bench versus if he stays home and goes to Iowa or Iowa State, you're looking at starting right off the bat and maybe helping to elevate those programs a little bit more longer term.
So are you saying that these five if they did the baseball rule, that these guys would stay at home more as top flight prospects because they will be able to start at their hometown school? Or
I'm not necessarily staying at home. Just example, Cal first brings in DeMarcus, correct?
Right.
And then the following year was Terrence Jones,
Right.
Is that correct? Those are the signature big men, right?
Yeah. Yes, that is.
Doesn't that make Anthony Davis's decision a little bit different?
If they stay for those years, yeah.
And yeah, if they're staying for 3 years, it does, sure.
And now you have Anthony Davis, who's a Chicago kid, who is maybe taking a little bit harder look at an Illinois or at DePaul.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely
get what you're saying. The problem is here in this scenario is that this is the only reason why this rule exists is not because of the NCAA, but it's because of the NBA. The NBA is
correct.
Yeah, and the NBA doesn't. I don't think they really want to help out the college game. I don't think that's their initiative.
Well,
their initiative is to help out their own brand. It's to help out the NBA.
Wouldn't you say the NBA game would overall improve? Because I mean, some of these regular season NBA games they're not real enjoyable to watch. I mean, they might be a close game, but just because it's a close game doesn't mean it's a good game.
Right, and well, that's the thing. Well, you're talking about improving the college game at that point then, and improving the college game is just kind of like a little bit of more competition for the NBA. And not only that is that I don't think the NBA, it's not that these guys, these four-star guys and these three-star guys that get good at colleges in the 3 years of the rules that you're saying, they're not going to make the impact that the Anthony Davis is going to come right out of high school into the NBA, that DeMarcus or John Wall or all those guys.
Absolutely agree, and the chances of some of those guys ending up in college are very slim as far as I'm concerned.
Right. And what I'm saying, though, is that they want those guys to go to college for a year so they're better prepared for the NBA because those are the guys that the NBA cares about. So that's why they have the ruling, so they can go into a major program, know what it's like to be on a big scale, so when they come to the NBA, they're more refined. So in this rule that you're saying, it doesn't help out the NBA because these kids are coming straight out of high school, have no refinement, have to learn like on the job instead of getting a year to kind of, you know, learn what it's like to be a professional. So I like your rule. I think that college basketball should have a rule like that. You can either come out of high school or, you know, or you have to stay for 2 to 3 years. I would probably say 2 in the modern day.
I think they would have to go 2.
Yeah, acceptable. But I just don't see the NBA necessarily doing that because I think it hurts the NBA, even though it would help out college basketball. And I agree. I'd rather see that as personally, Chris. I'd much rather see a 2-and-done rule where you can go out of high school if you wanted to, but that's not how it is, and I don't see that changing for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and there were so many people when there was no rule about coming out of high school after
higher bus rate.
Yeah, you know, it was just a mess.
Eddie Curry,
yeah, everybody,
took Tyson Chandler years, Kwame
people
Brown.
Were coming out and not getting drafted.
They're always going to go there, but I think just my opinion and from what I've seen, those guys were going more on the advice of Uncle Dave.
Yeah.
Or cousin Charlie or something like that.
I see what he's saying. Yeah.
Versus the amount of information these guys are able to get, and with the colleges and the NBA, I don't know if they're working together on this or not, but allowing these kids to declare, go to the pre-draft camps, go to the combines, and really get a lot of information as to where they stand. You know, and yeah, there are still going to be busts. There are busts with guys who went to college for 4 years who are bust in the NBA. You're never going to truly eliminate that. But I don't think we're going to see a rash of high school guys just jump into the NBA because now they can. I think they're still going to have to gather all of that information and figure out what truly is best for them. I appreciate the time, fellas.
Yeah, thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
We appreciate your call, and you can give us a call at 381-1313. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up the subject on college basketball and everything else under the sports sun right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Arctic Cat No-Brainer Sales Event is back with savings of up to $4,500 on brand new 2015 to 2017 ATVs and side-by-sides. You can stop thinking and start riding. Deals include a 2016 Wildcat X1000 for just $12,999 and the 2017 Altera 400 4x4 ATV for just $3,999. It's a no-brainer. Hurry into MLS Power Sports on Parrots Pike in Georgetown for the No-Brainer Sales Event now. Offer valid participating dealers while supplies last and subject to change. Inventory may vary by dealer. Not all applicants will qualify. See dealer for details and program dates. Always wear a helmet and don't drink and ride.
victoriously. Ride rough, ride tough, MLS Power Sports, got the ride you're looking for.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
Many times we represent those hurt on the job, fighting for disability benefits, or injured due to no fault of their own. Car crashes, physical attacks at a place of business, and medical mistakes. And I want to tell you something very important. Of course, the loss of income is devastating. Most families live paycheck to paycheck. But I find in our clients suffering something more important than the loss of money or a paycheck. It's the loss of one's honor, respect, and dignity. Providing for our families is what we do. It's our job, our purpose. For me and our lawyers, trying to restore that purpose and pride is our job number one. We're here to help you and your family at your hour of need. Dignity, honor, respect. In the end, it's all we have. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Offices Lexington.
At Paris Animal Welfare Society, located in Bourbon County, we fight every day to help give the stray and abandoned animals of Central Kentucky a second chance at a wonderful life. Of course, we don't do this work alone. Paws relies on a team of volunteers and animal fosters who are passionate about ensuring that each animal finds their perfect forever family. If you live in the Lexington Paris area and love animals like we do, we want you to join us in our life-saving work. Sign up today to become an animal foster or volunteer by visiting our website at www.pawspets.org. That's P-A-W-S. Pets.org.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Again, welcome back to ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Filling in for Dan and Mary Jo today is myself, Angelo Carriero, my co-host Sean C. I don't know if you'll agree with this. A lot of people think Africa is one of the best songs ever, if not the best overall song to ever be made in American culture. I really don't like it at all. I'm going to be honest. I just can't. Can't do it. Can't do it.
I don't know anybody that thinks it's the best song. But
actually, did you see the Africa, the NBA, the World versus Africa game?
I did not.
Yeah, like Cousins is going to be there. Kemba Walker is going to be there for the world team. Wall might be there. Not 100% sure about Wall, but Booker. There are some Kentucky guys. I shouldn't just name off random Kentucky guys and say that's who's going to be there. But yeah, the NBA Africa versus the world team game is going to be happening, I think, in late August or something. Again, just not definitely concrete on that, but that is coming up. But pretty much, you can hit us up at 381-1313. We've only got a couple more minutes for calls if you want to call in. Yeah, we only have 3 minutes, so if you want to, make it quick. But other than that, we've got a Twitter poll up. And at the end of the Twitter poll, we asked yeah, at ESPN Radio, at ESPN Radio Lex, where you can leave us comments, questions, and mention us on there, who will win the SEC East this year? And the resounding winner is...
Landslide. Kentucky is your 2017 SEC East championship, but Tennessee did get a vote.
Oh, did you do that?
No, I didn't.
Is that why you left the room?
No.
Go vote for Tennessee?
No. No, I did not vote for Tennessee, but somebody out there felt bad.
Whoever voted for Tennessee out there, shame on you.
Well, you know, they're good boys.
They're champions of life. They're winners at life. And really, when you go to university, that's all you can ask for. It's not national championships.
No, you just
want
to win at life.
Exactly.
That's why I went to school.
Yeah.
And look at me.
Me too.
Winning.
Look at where we're at.
Winning at life.
But, yeah, I appreciate pretty much everything that we talked about today. Just talking about the media days, how Benny Snell Jr. got just completely screwed out of one of the top three teams. There's six running back slots, and Ralph, whatever his name is from Vanderbilt, Webb.
Yeah, Ralph Webb.
Got onto the team, even though he's a junior, that rushed for as many touchdowns and just, you know, 200 more yards on 70 more carries. That Snell didn't deserve that spot over him. I'll spell it out for you. J-O-K-E. That's a joke that he did not get one of those spots on the team. We did get Mike Edwards on the third team. Denzel Ware on the second team. We've got Jordan Jones on the third team. Pretty good player. We're going to have a very good team this year. And if we don't finish, I mean, as low as third. That is as far as we're finishing this year. Third. Mark my words on that one. Okay. Florida and Georgia, main competition on that. We also talk about the MLB season, how that's going to be a really exciting second half after an exciting All-Star game, exciting home run derby, all that. We also talked a little bit about NBA and NFL contracts and about college recruiting. But again, you can hit us up on Twitter at ESPN Radio Lex, Facebook.com/ESPN Radio Lex, where you can post on the page, message us about any questions or comments you have. We usually have the schedule, everything up there. You can also go to the App Store and download the app for WLXG. For this radio station, you type in WLXG on the search bar, you download the app, you can take us wherever you go. Today we have coming on at 3 o'clock, Red Sox versus Yankees, one of the blood rivalries of Major League Baseball. And following that, you have the Washington Nationals, who we think is the best team in the National League, versus our home station affiliated Cincinnati Reds,
who are not the best team in the National
League. Who are not the best team in the National League, but you know what? They had a good year so far and they have a chance. But filling in for Dana Mary Joe today, this is myself, Angelo, Sean. Sean, thank you for the day.
See you next week.
And thank you for listening to ESPN Sports Radio 1300.